The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Grandkids, welcome to a very special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. No, not because it's number 252. It's because we have a new guest host, and his name is Shahid Abdul Hadi. How are you doing tonight, Shahid?
Well, I'm doing just fine. I'm doing great. Because you one of the first people I know to pronounce my name correctly the first time out. So, definitely thumbs up.
Yeah, you know what? I had meant to ask before actually doing that intro. And, yeah, I was in the middle of it, and I was kind of screwed. You can't really ask for it in the middle of it.
Hey, it rolls off the tongue. It's like Darius Kasparaitis, you know, you say it once, never forget it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty, I guess I just read things phonetically, and more times than not, you can get it done. Ugh. But let's see, is there anything eating at you for this week of the topics that I sent to you there?
It was funny because when you were talking about, you know, the first topic you sent was talking about, you know, the whole Triple H, Daniel Bryan, breakdown WrestleMania. And I was thinking, I was listening to you guys last week, you know, talking about, well, where was Triple H? What was his incentive? Like, why would he, you know, agree to those stipulations? What's in it for him? And I was thinking about Eric's blog. That's like, you know, funny how much changed in a week.
I do think it's a good stipulation to add into the match because, yeah, I mean, if he won, he didn't have anything going for him.
Yeah, I think part of it, you know, I wasn't too surprised last week when he had his little blow-up. Some of you guys were talking about it's not as out of character because he was all smug and relaxed. Like, the whole build-up was he wasn't losing his cool. He wasn't, there was no point for him to wrestle Daniel Bryan. And then in the blink of an eye, he's losing his mind and, you know, the bashings are breaking him away from jumping Daniel Bryan. I think it just goes into, you know, that's Triple H. That's always been his weak spot, his ego. You know, he just stay aligned. They just rouse him up the wrong way. He just loses for the same thing. I was thinking about the last WrestleMania when he was feuding with The Undertaker. And Undertaker was begging for the match. And Triple H was saying, you know, I don't have anything to prove. It's not best for business, blah, blah, blah. And then all Undertaker had to do was drop a line, well, you know, Shawn Michaels, I guess, is better than you because he wouldn't have did that. And then all of a sudden, it's on. I can't wait to get in the ring with him. So, it fit his character to a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, and it did take Daniel Bryan quite a bit of time to get to that stage, which is fine. I mean, you have, what they have, like 8 weeks to build up or something like that to deal with?
More or less, so... Really, since like they were talking since SummerSlam, when that whole thing started, when he won the belt and got jerked at the end of the match, and they kind of put on the back burner, like that, they kind of went on the back burner a little bit when, you know, CM Punk had the issue, but that was always, it seemed always more that it was a natural fit anyway with Daniel Bryan and Triple H.
Yeah, no, it's starting to work better for me. I had some reservations about it as it started, but they've really done a good job to me, I guess, and they're, at least in my eyes, changing what the original plan was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it helped because everybody's kind of embracing their natural role. You know, Batista, I can see why they brought him as a babyface, because the whole, you know, he's been away for 4 years. He's a big-time star. Stars always come back to spaces when they've been away for a while. But everyone's, you said it, Jeremy said it, everyone said he's better as a heel, and it fits. And it definitely fits the storyline. He's coming in, taking Daniel Bryan's spot, and, you know, riding on his old coattails, and nobody wants to see him. And from Batista's standpoint, it's kind of like, you know, why would I kowtow to this 200-pound midget? You know, I'm a big deal. I'm a superstar. So it fits that. Randy Orton fits as the whole, you know, I'm being disrespected as the paper champion. You know, I've beaten all these guys. It's been a fun match. Still not getting respect. And Daniel Bryan and Triple H, they both speak for themselves.
Well, I know you've been watching too much TNA if you're busting out the paper champion chant for Randy Orton.
You know, people were talking about that. I did not watch the first hour of TNA. So when people were saying, oh, WWE's biting off TNA with the whole paper champion thing and the whole AJ, to me, I had no idea what they were talking about. So
it in my head. Did they actually use those words this week? Because I guess I didn't remember them saying anything quite like that. I mean, it's definitely the situation that Randy Orton's in. So I'm not really disagreeing with that part of it. But I don't think they've specifically used those words, though.
No. It's kind of like he's been more the longest transitional champion in history. Kind of like, ever since they, you know, unified the titles, he's been holding the belt to drop it to somebody. But the only question has been who. Was it going to be Batista or was it going to be Daniel Bryan? So it's kind of like, you know, he has to be there to serve a role. He's having good matches, but everyone knows, you know, he's not going to be the long-term champ. So it's more like hurry up and get it over with. It's not his fault. It's just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, that is kind of funny. I hadn't thought about putting the transitional champ on him, but he really is, and he is quite a long-reigning one at that. I guess you're kind of assuming that his reign is coming to the end at WrestleMania.
You know, I know it would be hilarious if anybody besides Daniel Bryan won the title, but I don't. Out of the four choices, Daniel Bryan would be fourth on my list. I would see, of course, Daniel Bryan could see that happen. I could definitely see Batista happening, you know, just, and then Daniel Bryan with the next pay per view. Triple H doing it would just be almost crashed my car listening last week, just picturing, because I was listening to you guys when I was driving. And just picturing Triple H, like, beating Daniel Bryan in 5 minutes, making him tap out, and then winning at WrestleMania, and, like, the hell with it, would just be...
it'd be an awesome visual, because, I mean, you know, at this point with the network, it's not like saying, you know, you're killing the territory, or you're worrying about buys. You know, the people who bought WrestleMania is going to buy it. And once they watch it, they can't unwatch and get a refund, and they're going to definitely watch Raw. So, just for shits and giggles, that would be... Just to see that spectacle would be funny, but no. I seriously doubt Randy Orton leaving with the belt.
Yeah, no, but I guess I kind of like his role now a little bit more, too. Because at first, like, he was kind of in that weird dependent on the authority angle, but I've kind of liked when they've... Well, not really turned their back on him, but they certainly aren't, quote-unquote, giving him any help these days.
Yeah, you brought up a good point, because it's kind of like he's more, I'm the paranoid champ. I don't know who to trust. You know, one day Triple H has my back, the next day he's saying, well, maybe we'll replace you with John Cena, or maybe we'll replace you with Daniel Bryan, and then we bring in Batista, we bring in Brock Lesnar. It's kind of, I don't know, Randy Orton always seems most enjoyable when he's playing that kind of unhinged role, because he kind of, even his whole wrestling style, his demeanor is kind of off. He's even, you know, he has a pretty boy look. You know, he always call him, you know, the evolutionary Arn Anderson in the ring because he's just so smooth. But it's just something off, like a little thing missing. And he just plays that to the hilt. When he tries to smile, it doesn't work. And when he tries to play like the generic tough guy, it just comes off fake. When he's playing, you know, the paranoid, slightly crazy guy trying to hold on to a spot, that works. So I'm definitely down with that.
Yeah, no, I think it might have been Jeremy. Well, yeah, it's probably Jeremy and I talking about it. It really doesn't hurt that that guy seems to be able to have good matches with just about anyone. Like, I would never really peg him as, like, a great wrestler, but he never seems to bog down too many matches when he's got good talent to work with.
Yeah. And it's funny because he has that reputation, but whenever you hear a wrestler saying, if you could have a match with a wrestler, like old school wrestlers, if you have a match with somebody, a lot of them would say Randy Orton. It's just because I think he's not flashy, but he rarely makes mistakes. He's always in the right spot. Everything looks easy, and everything makes it look smooth. And it's kind of, you know, since he's not taking big bumps like Dolph Ziggler, he doesn't look like he's trying hard like CM Punk because he's not clumsy. You know, it's kind of, Randy Orton just a drop kick in a chin lock. And he's definitely been guilty of, you know, having dull matches. But it's kind of like the same boat with Cena. You have enough great matches with great people. It's not always because the other guy's carrying you. So.
No. Yeah. I guess the one person we haven't addressed in this situation is, and we've been talking about, who's playing their roles well. Is Stephanie playing her role well?
You know, I think she was the MVP of that segment Monday night because that was just so perfect. Because, one, you guys are absolutely right. I would not want to be married to that woman and forget to take the trash out. I would sleep on the couch voluntarily. But it just, you know, her just – she was acting like she was about to have an orgasm during that beatdown. Just the whole, and you know, how dare Daniel Bryan piss on her ring. And she just going on and on, just get him, you know, choke him out. Say somehow, like, drown him. Just losing her mind with ecstasy. It was just amazing. Because it fits. You know, it fits her whole thing. Like the egomaniacal heir to the family. And then she can definitely be a harpy. I know some people say they like Steph when she's playing the smug role. And when she starts to get loud, it kind of get grating. I like it when she's smug, but when she's just being a witch, that's just perfect Stephanie. Because I remember those days from Raw, post-Attitude Era, and it fits her. She doesn't have to really act. I could see her actually being like that in real life, so I don't have to suspend disbelief to see her in the ring doing that and just acting like a lunatic when she's not getting her way.
Yeah, no, I've definitely been one of the guilty of highlighting the smugness, but I do think, as you do, that she does play kind of a couple of roles well, and that is kind of the other one. When she just tries to kind of be the baby facey kind of thing, it doesn't really roll off too well on her.
Well, it's kind of, that's definitely true. I got all the McMahons. Shane was really the only one that could really have that sympathetic role. Like Vince, even when he tried to, it kind of, it didn't seem like it fit. Definitely not Stephanie, because she had the same issue Triple H has. Triple H's character fits best when he's being a heel, like that whole smugness and arrogant and just hard ass. He tried to get baby faces come off like a dickhead. So, and Steph has that same issue. She's a, I know it's cliche, but she's a McMahon. You know, McMahon, they match the actual heels. So.
Yeah, well, and I mean, she's definitely had her fair share of TV time. So I would hope that if you want your product to be good at any point, that you would make your own necessary adjustments.
Agreed. So I have a question. If somebody brought it up, they said with the whole, when the police came to arrest Daniel Bryan, it was like, you know, kind of a nitpicking thing. It took him out of storyline to, like, how can Texas cops take care of Daniel Bryan when it's a Memphis crime?
did that bother you, or were you even thinking about it?
No. No, I guess I wasn't thinking about it all that much. I was worried because part of it that was entertaining was you were talking about her ecstasy during the beatdown. And I didn't really get to see that because their programming ran late, as it tends to do.
Yeah. I made an effort, like, I guess 2 weeks ago, I changed my DVR recording to set it for, I think, 15 minutes after. I was doing 5, and usually 5 was enough. But the last couple weeks, they ran, what, almost 20 minutes Monday. Like, that beatdown went down for a long time. Like, by the time they went to the Raw postgame show, they were there for, like, 5 minutes, and then they faded to black. So, yeah, I didn't have an issue with the whole Cops thing, because, one, it's like, it's wrestling. You know, if I can, as long as anything's too stupid, I can't suspend disbelief. And two, I make the old joke, you know, like, you got a warrant in Memphis, they can get them in Texas. That's child support. You know, it's safe because you cross state lines. So that's how I see WWE cross.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's definitely something that I guess it's been around enough that I just don't even pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's keep moving.
Okay. So,
I did like the good cop, bad cop in that, too, because I guess I wasn't ready for that that turn of events, although it completely made sense to have it play out that
way.
Yeah,
definitely. Because they did a good job of, you know, not tipping their hand too much. They were leaving hints where, you know, the storyline was playing that way. Triple H trying to do the whole, I'm going to do what I need to do, but I still respect you because you stood up to me. While Steph is just losing her mind, like, it's not about respect. You know, he's pissing on our legacy. But once, you know, once the cuffs went on and he just had that look, yeah, he gave that look of stuff that I wanted. I'm looking forward to doing this myself. It made sense. It wasn't like kind of, it was unexpected, but it fit the storyline. It fit Triple H. So, but I was just hoping, you know, I hope Daniel Bryan doesn't get injured or concussion watching that because he's handcuffed so he can't break himself or break his fall against anything. And some of those bumps he was taking was kind of, I don't know, shaky. So, but it worked out. They definitely put interest in the match. They definitely put heat in the match. So, looking more forward to WrestleMania. So, kudos.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've it's a good way to definitely raise things up a notch here at the last minute. I mean, I think I mentioned a little bit earlier there, it's been a bit of a slow build, so to kind of have the dam bust a couple of weeks out from WrestleMania is kind of a good time to have that happen.
Yeah. I think they kind of, it's definitely been a slow build. I think part of it is just, you know, they waited so late to, you know, decide on Daniel Bryan. See, that whole CM Punk situation kind of left him in limbo. Is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? And what are you going to do if he does come back? And then next thing you know, it's 3 weeks for Mania. You have a title match that nobody wants to see. Well, what are you going to do? So, you know, a lot of times WWE gets slack about, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They can't long-term book. And I'm like, I don't care if it's meticulously planned or they just fall into it, fall on the ass, and it works out. If it works out by the time WrestleMania comes, that's all that matters. I don't care how they get there, as long as they get there.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you kind of said it. Sometimes things are kind of out of their control. I mean, Punk deciding to take off obviously isn't. They realize that they're losing money not having him there, but obviously they don't want to cave to whatever his problem is either.
Yeah, it's like I don't know what is it that he wants. I mean, it's not like, you know, the whole thing, they didn't send him home. He left because he didn't get what he wants. But nobody's really talked about what exactly he wants. You know, it's been rumors saying, well, maybe he wants to be in the main event. Or maybe he wants a title match. Or maybe it's a whole bunch of maybes and could-have-bes. And
from WWE standpoint, and you guys talked about, I talked about it, if he's not re-signing and he's leaving in May or June anyway, then it's like, why bother? I know I would want to see him there, but it's kind of like, if he's not going to be there long term, are you going to reward that?
Oh, yeah, no, you're not going to. There's no reason to do it either. So I don't. Yeah, I guess it could be tied to the contract talks. Like, hey, we'll give you this spot if you sign already.
Yeah. So, I mean, like Paul, he's always talking about he's a student of the game. He knows how the game works long enough to know how things go. It's kind of, you don't sign a contract, don't expect to get pushed. And it's amazing he actually got a title. You know, he actually got pushed before when his contract about to run out, and got the title, beat John Cena clean and left, and then signed a contract and came back. It's kind of, you know, that's really not precedented. So I don't expect that to happen twice with the same person. So
yeah, no, I mean, and I guess there's just not another big event either after WrestleMania, like within the time frame that his contract is supposed to be up. So it's just kind of like, well, if you're missing out on WrestleMania, then you're really kind of missing out on nothing else.
Yeah. Like, I seriously doubt he's going to, you know, he's losing sleep over missing Backlash. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure he's fine in that department, but I guess I meant it more in the why bother to come back, you know?
Yeah.
Why do you really need to be on Backlash?
Well, I mean, you already know. You mentioned because maybe he's going to be in UFC. He's going to start his second career because somebody said he went to a jiu-jitsu class 2 or 3 times and he does a sloppy kick. He can take UFC spot, but that's how it works.
That was one of my favorite things I've written in quite a while.
I mean, it's just I can understand the thought process to a certain point, but if we've watched better athletes than him try other sports at a younger age and fail, you know, like Kurt Angle talked about doing it, he couldn't do it, and that's Kurt Angle, you know. But he's the, you know, struggled and beat some, you know, tomato can in his late 30s or 40s. But he's, you know, people make fun of him because, you know, he wears skinny jeans and he has asthma, but he's athletic. CM Punk is not athletic. He's not young, you know. He's, what, 34, 35?
He's
been talking
about
he's got years of knowledge. Yeah, so all this, you know, I'm going to take a few classes with a Gracie and then try some MMA. Okay, well, you can try some. I thought it was going to be a thing somebody want to pay to see.
Yeah, and just, I don't even know what weight class that guy would end up trying to shoot for, but he's not going to be, he's going to have to do a little extra training in the gym there unless he's going to kind of have a semi- and the only guy I can think of is Roy Nelson, honestly, like a guy that doesn't look like he does enough running there in the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, you can look like that if you can fight, but it's nothing. I don't know anything about CM Punk to say, you know, it's a skinny guy with a gut, but he can fight. I've noticed he doesn't have that reputation of being a tough guy that can fight because he wears a hoodie. That'll, you know, if I could wear a hoodie, that'll make you tough, so.
Yep.
Like a wrestling fan.
They definitely don't make me tough. They just make it much easier to carry tough.
Yeah. Like I don't even wear hoodies because, yeah, you know, sometimes you gotta be careful where you wear hoodies. That's a story for another day.
Yeah. Well, I guess we've kind of, to me at least, exhausted that topic for the most part. Is there any other hanging ends that we need to cover?
No, I think we can go to the next one. You're talking about how the Cesaro and the Shield. Did you notice what I noticed? It seemed like they kind of hit a reset
on a lot of those tag teams. Like, I know the Real Americans were having issues, and then this week they were on the same page. The Shield was having issues, and then this week they were on the same page. It's kind of like, I don't know, it just seemed strange that all of a sudden, you know, everybody's on the same page, everybody's on the same team. The whole dissension storylines were kind of pushing the back burner.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why I put them in together. I was just like, hold on, what just happened here? Because I guess I posed the question in the almost live, definitely half-assed review of Raw there. That it's just like, hold on, the Real Americans are still going to have a dissension problem in a couple of weeks, but I mean, you don't really have, the WWE doesn't have another heel tag team, really, to go against the Usos without the New Age Outlaws. And, they're good for their age, but I would be perfectly fine with anyone else challenging the Usos at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed kind of like somehow I decided to change their mind. And I'm kind of close. It's what, 2-3 weeks to WrestleMania, unless they're going to build them. I mean, they get 2 wins, you can build them up. It's the Usos, not the Steiner brothers. But still, the storyline seemed like it was going toward, you know, Jack Swagger fighting Cesaro. Cesaro turns babyface. They still could do that, but just the whole, well, all of a sudden we're on the same page, we can work it out, we're facing for the tag team titles, this scene out of the blue.
Yeah, no, it really did. Like, I guess I was expecting some type of singles push there, but and I guess that's the thing that kind of sucks. It's just like, oh, what do you do now? Him enough that they're going to give them, like, I don't think they're going to give them the tag team titles, but it's just like, ooh, that kind of seems like a step down going from what looked like a singles push to the tag team titles.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always kind of, we kind of dance around it, but it's always there. You two will talk about, you know, the booking and the writers. At the end of the day, it's all Vince, and he's low enough about Vince McMahon, though. He can change his mind to whatever. So, but it would definitely be a step down, and I don't see, you spend all that time building up the Usos to get the tag team title. They have a natural feud with the New Age Outlaws, the Road Dogg shirt. I can see going face to face with Cody and Goldust. But they're doing a whole dissension storyline themselves. So they might go the multiple tag team route and things happen just to kill time. Because I don't know if you heard, like, WrestleMania is 4 hours. It's only a 2-hour pre-show. So, and they haven't really announced a lot of matches. So that's a lot of time.
2-hour pre-show?
2-hour pre-show. As if WrestleMania is not long enough as it is.
I mean, I guess I'm trying to think of when we went into whatever the hell Atlanta's field's called. I can't remember offhand.
Turner?
I don't think it's Turner. Oh, the Georgia Dome. I'm an idiot. it's an easy one. But we got in there pretty damn early, because it was just ridiculous around, because it seemed like everyone that was going to WrestleMania was eating at one CNN center there. that's going to be rough. I don't want to be in that stadium for 6 hours.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's a warm weather city, because this could be the third year I've went. Miami, the weather was perfect. New York, I could not have. They kind of just being there just like 4 or 5 hours. That was pushing right there. And the extra hour, you really want to see Jinder Mahal or whoever, just killing time. Or just seeing Dusty Rhodes and Titan trying to talk about who you think is going to win between John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I mean, helps.
If it's for the network, you're trying to build like Super Bowl Sunday. But if you're actually there, it's just, okay, now I got more time to spend $30 to get a soda and a nasty piece of pizza. which I did last year, and I was pissed. You know, I did not check the prices. We were just killing time. Like, I'll take a soda, and I'll take a piece of pizza. It was the biggest thing there. And they bring up, like, $37.15. And the pizza had no taste. And, yeah, and I had a big-ass John Cena cup. So, yeah, thanks a lot, New York.
Oh, yeah, no, that one, I was like, because when we were down in Orlando, it ended up being kind of cool that night. And I'm just like, I'm not doing this in even colder weather. It's off.
Yeah, well, it was kind of, it's WrestleMania last year. It started in the high 40s. By the time it ended, it had to have been like the 30s. It was cold. I mean, it was doable, but it was cold. I felt bad for the rest of it. And it drizzled for like 5 minutes. It didn't rain hard, but as soon as it drizzled, my wife was like, the hell with it. She ran and she went inside. So I had to chase her like the good. I felt like Triple H chasing Stephanie. Everybody was laughing at me, but whatever. So I don't know. That 6 hours is kind of, that's a stretch. And it's not like there's a lot of matches they've announced anyway. So even if adding a Divas match, adding a tag team match, how you going to fill all that time?
Yeah, well, and then, you know, it seemed to get to the other part of the equation, the Shield, it seemed like they had a three-way match building up for those guys. And
yeah, that one's even, yeah, that's even stranger than Cesaro and Swagger, because, you know, Shield, high profile, and it would make sense. You could have a 20-25 minute match with those three in a three-way match. It would be entertaining, it would kill time, and it would serve a purpose. Having them putting on fate, you know, Kane and Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, I don't see that as a WrestleMania match.
Oh, I guess I was sitting there going, oh, what could be the matchup in this case? And I'm just like, oh, yeah, Bray Wyatt's tied up. It would make some sense since it's kind of been implied that with Triple H and really even Kane, I think at some point telling the Shield not to mess with the Wyatts to have him team with them.
Yeah, like the match would make sense from a storyline, but I don't know, I'm being kind of selfish, so I want to be there. And just, you know, the Shield's awesome in six-man matches. And, you know, Luke Harper and Rowan's fine. Well, I don't really want to see Kane in a long match anymore. I've seen that enough. You know, Kane, I give him credit for being in shape, you know, and wrestling in dress slacks and Mormon shoes. Like, God bless him. But 10 minutes is my max with Kane. I've been watching him for close to 20 years, and I've seen his moveset. I've seen what he could do. Thanks for no thanks. It's kind of like, you know, like watching Tim Duncan. I know you're good, but I don't need to watch you for 45 minutes. So.
Yeah, no, I like his characters really at this point more than his in-ring work, because he's not keeping up with any of these guys that are in this well, in this imaginary match at the current moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not his fault. I'm just thinking he debuted in 1997 or 98. You're talking about 15, 16 years. Yeah. It's just funny, like, thinking about him and thinking about the Big Show and people like that, and like, even the New Age Outlaws, and then there's, I watched him when I was a teenager. I had a full hairline. I was 60 pounds lighter, you know, and I had my whole world in front of me. So just turn on Raw now and see those same people is just kind of jarring.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy. I think by the time I actually came back to wrestling, I was out of my teens. I definitely didn't quite see his debut. Since when did I start watching again? Really, probably in 98, I would say.
Oh, so you came back at the right time. I took a break. I think I was still watching WCW and ECW. I took a break from WWF, I think, right after King of Ring 93, matter of fact, around that time, because I wasn't really a Bret Hart fan. I could give a rat's ass about Diesel. You know, I liked Razor Ramon. Shawn Michaels was, blah. But I was watching WCW. I was watching ECW.
I went to college for the summertime, 96. And I came back, and all of a sudden I see Steve Austin on Raw, casting. I turned to WCW, I see Hulk Hogan with a black beard, air guitar, and I'm like, what did I miss? Because I hadn't watched. I didn't have cable, so I didn't watch wrestling in like 6 months, 7 months. I'm like, what happened? That was a concept like, and you know, who's the NWO? Like, when they start personal on wrestling? Yeah, so that was definitely a shock.
Oh, man. it was when I roomed with Jeremy, and for some reason he had Raw on, and the Iron Sheik came back, because that was 97 sometime. Because we only lived together for a semester, so it would have been fall of 96. I guess maybe then it was 97 when I came back that I started watching. It's kind of hard to watch when you're in Italy at that point. They didn't have a global television deal at that point either. a couple of things have changed in the meantime. The students going over there now might be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
Or
so
just watch WWE Network.
Have you watched a lot of networks?
What'd you say?
Have you watched a lot of network?
No, and that was definitely the theme of your blog there that we wanted to get around to too.
Yeah.
I guess I just haven't sat down to. I don't sit down a whole lot, which is fun, but also means that I don't really watch the network too much.
Okay. Yeah, like I really don't. I'll have it on the background. I'll watch some of the original shows, like the top 10, because it's like inoffensive. Those cartoons, you know, it's 2 minutes. My wife actually thought it was funny. Her only issue was she thought Big Show was too small, because him and John Cena were the same size, but that's whatever. But it's just funny, you know, like watching old show. Like, I remember a lot of stuff, but I don't remember the details. So, like, rewatching it at an older age, I can appreciate stuff. Yeah. I already talked about WCW in the blog. ECW does not age well at all. It's rough. And part of it is, I won't go with the whole thing like ECW was never good. It sucked. Because I remember watching ECW when I was a teenager. My friends, we watched ECW before WWF and WCW. We were always thinking, you know, it's real. It's not that fake crap like WWF. That's why they allow chair shots and, you know, outside interference, because it's real. And part of the issue was, you know, you don't have the music and you don't have all the weekly shows, so you didn't live it. But if you just watch a pay-per-view, Sandman, Mikey Whitworth is champion, no thanks.
Yeah, no, I definitely wanted to check some of those out just because it's just like, oh, I wonder if that match was as good as I thought it was. And because there's certainly the Jerry Lynn RVD matches, like, I guess I was just wondering how those
I'll say this with those. Some of the matches definitely age well. Some of them kind of over, you know, some of it's kind of, and I blame ROH because of this, that whole we do a bunch of spots for the first 3 minutes and everybody clap, and we'll watch Prince repeat, do that 3 times, and then we'll have our real match. And that's one of the reasons why I stopped watching ROH, because that just got them. It just turned wrestling into, you know, like dance, like a Channing Tatum thing. Like, let's do this dance step for 2 minutes. And, yeah. But some of the matches, you know, they age well. I say, like, Jerry Lynn, RVD, if you've seen one, that's enough. It's just more the violent stuff. I take a power bomb through a table with thumbtacks on fire, you get a 2 count. So you see Francine's tip for the roll up, and it's a 3. I'm like, come on.
Oh, see, now, to me, I guess that would remind me of ROH right now, because I still put myself through the weekly torture of choking down that show.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no, shit like that'll happen, where it's just like their finisher won't finish them off, but they catch them off guard with a roll-up, and it's a 3 count. You're like, get the fuck out of here. This is terrible.
Yeah, and then the rules of ACW are just so convoluted, you know. No DQs. You can do what you want. You can use any weapon. You can wrestle anywhere. You might have 2 or 3 refs. Somebody else, they'll just jump in. And if that crap happened now, you know, people would trash it. But back then, it's like, you know, Paul Heyman is a revolutionary. And you have a pay-per-view, you have 2 announced matches, and then the rest is like, where did it wing it? Let's have an interview. Oh, Steve Corino's there. He just came out the ring. Oh, Kajini's there. Let's just have a match. I mean, you can't do that shit on pay. Yeah, pay-per-view? No. Yeah, so I watch it now. I don't have the whole teenage fanboy eye, so I kind of skip ECW. WCW, I can watch. You know, Dusty was right. That time frame, early 90s, yeah, that's awesome time. The booking didn't make any sense, and I know he'll get mad at me. Bill Watts was a goddamn idiot with his rules. That whole, we're a real sport, and we're going to do real sport rules, so we're not jumping off the top rope, and you can't throw anybody over the rope, and you can even hear Jim Ross try to, you know, justify it. It didn't make any sense. Don't sign Jushin Liger and then make him come off the second rope with a dropkick.
Yeah, no, I always thought that was just the over-the-top rope rule. I was, even as a child, I was sitting there going, this is stupid. Like, this makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and it's funny I think I don't know which pay-per-view, but between one pay-per-view and the Great American Bash, they kind of threw that away. And even Bill Watts saying, you know, I did it because I wanted to be a true sport, and I know some people have been complaining, some people haven't. But, you know, just to show I'm a reasonable guy. If it's accidental, then I won't DQ him. You know, if it's through by a move, I won't DQ. But we just want to have racing on the up and up. And then, yeah, then they kick those rules to curb after that. But I thought they were stupid as a teenager. I think even worse now, just seeing the talent they had and how they wasted. And I'm mad at Jeremy because I made that blog trying to talk about the greatness of WCW. He put a RoboCop there. That's the picture. I'm like, son of a bitch. And everyone's asking me, like, is that RoboCop was in WCW? I'm like, yeah. And I still haven't watched that pay-per-view from beginning to end. I remember turning, because we had illegal cable, or whatever it's called, the hot box. I remember watching WCW.
Yeah, the old,
and I saw RoboCop out there with Sting, and I didn't know what to think. I turned the channel. I thought I was hallucinating. Cause then years later, they talk about, oh, RoboCop was in WCW. I'm like, oh, so that actually happened.
Yeah. No, that is one of the video cassettes that I still have. Because that's Capital Punishment, wasn't it? 91, I think.
It was Capital Combat 1990, D.C.
90. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have that one on tape because I have a lot of the late 80s and very early 90s, and then I kind of tapped out around the 92, 93 area. So I don't know why I thought that was so cool, and I need to rewatch that just to relive that one, just to see how it ages.
Yeah, all I noticed is that Sting and Sid Vicious tend to attract a lot of stupid gimmicks in WCW. I kind of like, because when the Shockmaster happened, I saw Sting and I saw Sid. Like, they kind of just, I don't know, I guess longevity, or just definitely in Sting's case, you be around long enough, you're going to be around the stupid stuff. But, yeah, some of that stuff was just extremely violent. Like, what was it? Because we were watching last night. One of the War Games matches with the, what was it, a triple cage? Oh, yeah, three cages. That's when Dusty Rhodes was so, his, you know, if one is good, then three must be awesome. And Kevin Sullivan basically tried to murder Precious with a chain, tried to choke her to death. And this, I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is just, especially knowing, like, you know, with Kevin Sullivan, and then how things kind of played out with his wife and stuff, it was uncomfortable. And you can even hear the announcer saying, like, you know, this is very uncomfortable. Somebody stop the damn, stop this. And it was just, yeah, good old wrestling.
Oh, man, I would probably just love the uncomfortability level during that whole feud.
Yeah.
It'd be outstanding.
Yeah, and but, I want to say Jeremy was definitely right when he was talking about how bad WWE was in the late 90s. I was watching that same episode he was talking about with DX. I made a mistake of watching that with my wife. So she wasn't paying attention to that skit when basically, you know, he forgot to mention how Billy Gunn basically bragged he went balls deep in sorority girl and messed up her lungs. So I don't know how he missed that. But, yeah, between Nicole Bass basically saying she wanted to fuck Val Venus, Deborah coming out with Jeff Jarrett, and The Godfather, it was just like four straight segments of just filth. And my wife's looking like, what's going on? I'm like, there is a different time, and that's why they're PG now. Just accept it.
Yeah, no, and I always love the completely neutered reappearance of the Godfather. It cracks me up because they just really can't do it upright, and they still try to play up him coming back. It's like, oh, he's great fun. It's the Godfather. We can't really mention what he does anymore,
mm-hmm.
and we can't really give him unclothed hose, but, you know, Godfather.
Yeah, like why they call him the Godfather? Oh, you know, Attitude Era back then. And just, you know, kind of gloss over it. So he come out with two girls, like he's a lawyer or something. But no. But even up until, I want to say, whenever you time to tell, though, because some of John Cena's stuff was just, it was just foul. Like, I could see why he was cheered by a lot of teenagers, but he was just, talking about pissing on graves and giving people pearl necklaces and calling everybody gay. I'm like, this is on you. I'm like, this is on UPN. You know, like, yeah. So.
Oh man, when we're starting to talk, maybe early aughts, it's still kind of recent past for me, but. Man, I guess I didn't realize Cena was quite that overboard. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I was definitely watching Raw. I wasn't watching SmackDown because, one, SmackDown was kind of horrible back then. The whole, like, Rene Dupree, Kenzo Suzuki, you know, Booker T doing voodoo, and Spike Dudley and the Dudley Boys, that segment.
right when John Cena turned babyface. So you're still doing that crap when he was babyface on U.S. Champion. It wasn't as bad, but yeah, that wasn't. What was it, 5-6 years ago? So, one, that is a long, no, even longer than that. It just, I don't know, once you get past 2003, it just seemed like time just takes a funny, it kind of just acts funny when you watch those shows, because you remember it, but then you remember, oh, that was 2007, that's not too long ago, and then you realize that was 7 years ago. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's what's getting to be the bad part, is I'm just going, oh, crap, I have really been watching for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, we had some people come down. Well, Jeremy and some other friends drove down here to go to, I believe it was, which pay-per-view was down here? I think it was the King of the Ring. The last King of the Ring was here. I think it was right after Nationwide Arena got built, and they came down for it. And I think that's the last pay-per-view that we had also, which kind of stinks. Come on. CBUS needs to get some love.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, 2007 is still a while ago. And, well, I guess the point that I was trying to get to there was that I've just been watching more consecutively now as an adult than I ever did as a child, I guess. Like, I probably watched from, like, 8 until I was, like, you know, maybe 16 or something like that. And now it's been from, like, 21 to 35, so like I'm almost doubling my viewing time of professional wrestling now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I remember watching a lot in the 80s when I was a kid. Like, I watched WWF and some NWA. I don't know. Like, I like Ric Flair, but I thought Magnum PA was a goofball, and so I just stuck with Ultimate Warrior. Then I just gravitated toward WCW and was like, right, WWE to start to seem, you know, you're a teenager, Hulkamania doesn't seem cool anymore. I'd rather watch Ricky Steamboat, Rick Rude, then ECW, like, there's a gap here, 2 years here, 3 years here. Then the Attitude Era, I watched that through 2003, then took a gap. Then I want to, I guess, since 2006, 2007, I've watched consistently. And definitely helps, you know, that's when I start getting on the internet and learning stuff, become a quote-unquote smart fan, for better or for worse. And sometimes I wish I had never took that route, because that's another thing the network I like, because I watched the first WrestleMania Rewind, and they had the breakdown for WrestleMania 1 with the tag match. And for whatever reason, I was always under the impression that that was just a horrible match, and it was just all spectacle. You know, watching it, it's not, you know, 4 stars. It's actually a decent match. You know, it served its purpose, considering the people were in there. You know, you had Mr. G. Piper was never, you know, Mr. Wrestler in WWF. Hogan and Orndorff. You know, it was a good match. You can watch it today and actually enjoy yourself. So stuff like that. Like, I don't give a damn, you know, yeah, I don't care about, oh, work rate. Oh, he does a Chris Tiger suplex. Like, whoopie damn do. Like, I can see that. I don't care about that stuff. I just want to, you know, I don't want to like Vince Russo. I just want to be entertained when I watch it, so.
Yeah, no, it would be, well, I definitely haven't gone back to watch anything. I thought it was, I guess I saw you post a picture today of watching it while you were jogging at the gym.
I was actually my treadmill at home, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I never think to pop it on. Like, I usually have music because I kind of bounce between doing weighted exercises and doing cardio. So I never think to pop it on when I'm there. I just leave music on. Like, that's one place that I guess I could try and, like, suck down some time. And I know I have enough enough, what is that, data to go ahead and do that. But it's one thing that just doesn't cross my mind to do it while I'm at the gym.
Yeah. I mean, that's my first time, too. I was like, you know, why the hell not? So, you know, they always brag about, you know, take the technology anywhere. And talking to a lot of people, they definitely use it. Like, they'll just have playing in the background, not even paying attention, but if something pops up, they'll watch. So, and it's definitely affected my viewing habits because I can't remember the last time I even watched Netflix. I don't even watch my Hulu Plus anymore. So if I'm not watching a sports game or news or a movie, I just have the network on in the background. So.
Yeah, no, and that could be my other habit. Like, I don't feel like I watch a lot of TV shows, but maybe I watch more than I think I do.
Yeah, and my wife's definitely happy about the network because it saves on the cable bill because I was getting every pay-per-view a month. And with Time Warner charging $55, yeah, that kind of adds up.
Fuck Time Warner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be moving in the house soon, so I'll keep Time Warner for internet, but they can kiss my ass when it comes to cable. Our cable bill is insane. I don't even want to talk about how much it is.
Yeah, well, we just got stuck in this situation. Because what the hell, I may as well air my complaint because I did it last year too. The Columbus Crew, the soccer team here in town, they signed with Time Warner Sports. So the only way to get their away games is to have Time Warner Cable, because on the MLS Direct Kick and there's one other online carrier, and I can't think of who it is offhand now. They both have a blackout policy of 75 miles within the radius of the city. So there's essentially no way to view it unless you have Time Warner, and I am not even going to cave to them to watch those games.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel your pain. Like, I ran into it because this was the first year I got NHL, the League Pass package, and half the time I can't see the Flyers. I have no idea why. Like, I was going to watch the Flyers-Blackhawks game. I'm going through the channels. It's not there. I'm like, we got 8 channels, none of the game. So, and they're Comcast. So, if it's a Comcast game, sometimes I can't even get it. I have no idea why. It's not a blackout game because I live in Texas. But, yeah. So, I guess the moral story is the hell with cable.
Yeah, the whole the blackout things is maddening. I had to deal with that too last summer. I finally watched the Pirates do something with their existence, and a bunch of the games were blacked out here because we were too close to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, at least it could be worse. It could have been a Steelers. That was me with the Eagles because I got NFL Sunday ticket online, and for the Eagles, I was expecting, you know, they'll be a bad team, so I won't have to worry about blackout games. After like week 5, every game was either a national game or a local game. So if I was at work, I couldn't watch it there because since it's a local game, it's considered, you know, you can't watch local games on DirecTV. One time I was watching a game, no, twice it happened, I was watching the Eagles game. They switched at the beginning of the third quarter because it was a blowout. And I'm stuck watching the Cowboys. So it was even one of the games, it was a blowout in the third quarter. It got close in the fourth quarter, and they didn't switch back until, like, 3 minutes left in the game. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that, but we'll see. I don't want to be stuck watching the Texans or the Cowboys, and that's really the only option living in Central Texas.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, luckily I don't really have too much of a – well, I'd never get anything like that for the NFL. There's enough enough bars around here to head to, and I, you know, don't drink enough there to order the package.
Yeah, speaking of that, I wish my TV was blacked out right now.
Hmm?
I said, speaking of that, I wish my TV was blacked out now. Maybe I didn't remember. I'm looking at 90s. So I'm looking at Shawn Michaels and Diesel, and I'm looking at what they're wearing. I think Diesel has a white denim jacket with glitter and black spikes. I don't know what Shawn Michaels wearing, but just think that was cool back then. You know, I'm missing this fanny pack. It's just,
Yeah, no, I lived through it. I know how bad it is. There's a reminder every time I go back to my parents' house that mullets were cool. So, you know, I will make fun, but I really don't have a whole lot of space to do so.
Yeah, so that, between that and the mullets, I swear, you know, but I don't know, that was a weird time watching King of the Ring. I remember Hulk Hogan losing to Yokozuna, and I was like, Hulk Hogan never gets pinned. I was just gobsmacked. I didn't know anything about backstage or anything like that, and just, I couldn't believe it. Like, even when, the only other time I remember seeing Hulk Hogan lose when he was lost to The Undertaker that Tuesday night in Texas, but, you know, that was with a chair, and they had a rematch and stuff. Just seeing him get pinned, I was like, amazing.
Yeah, no, there's certainly a different eye that you use to watch some of this old stuff now, too, because I definitely wasn't all in on the smart marking for a while there.
Yeah, and I think that's probably for the good. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go on the whole smart mark rant because I'm kind of like a heretic when it comes to that. And some stuff is good to know, just to know the history behind it. But I kind of like not knowing. So when, and Jeremy talked about it with me one time, like when you don't know and you're surprised, you just feel it more. You know, like when Brock Lesnar popped up at WrestleMania, like you heard some stuff about, but you didn't really know. So you get spot. When Rock showed up as guest host for WrestleMania, that was definitely out the blue. You know, if I had known about it a month before, I'd have still been excited, but I wouldn't have felt the same way. But now it's like everybody knows what's happening before it happens. They already analyzed it, and they already broke it down. And that's what Batista's going through right now. If nobody knew, he was showing up, and he showed up at Royal Rumble number 30 and wins. WrestleMania probably looks completely different than the way it is now.
Yep. Yes, it does. And considering that we've now come around full circle on our conversation, I think it's probably a good time to cut it off here.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. And, you know, I've listened to the show long enough to know it's like a long circle. As long as you get to the original point, that's what counts. So.
Yep. And, well, I guess we didn't even really talk about that, but I'll definitely do plugs, which is at Stunt Granny, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Dusty, at DeFrango 11. I am not sure what your Twitter handle is.
Mine is Shahid, what is it, 79? Yeah. I know, real groundbreaking. Yeah, I was born. But yeah, it was
Yeah, well, I pretty much use the same handle for everything, so whatever. It just makes it easy. I just change the password, so hopefully it's a little bit harder for people to crack into. I don't know. Screw it. I'm gonna let you do the close since I did all the plugs. I'm going to probably go grab a sippy time beer and have a good night, grandkids.
Okay, you heard the man. For everybody that's listening, thanks for listening. For those who don't, what the hell are you waiting for? Go listen. Get drinks.